Southeastern, by the mercies of God, we begin our third decade of service to Christ. More than 2,300 students have received degrees or certificates from our school. And in some genuine sense, as we meet today, we are surrounded by our own cloud of witnesses. Most of them are very much alive, faithful servants of Jesus Christ as they do his work in the world. James Moffat chose grandly when he made the title of one of his books, The Thrill of Tradition. I don't know how long it takes for an inspiring past to become a tradition, but I find a thrill in our 20 years of service to Christ. 20 years doesn't seem very long, especially to those of us who will consider ourselves fortunate if we live 20 more. But already our seminary knows what it means to look back on some of our own heroes of faith. Not far from this chapel, in a peaceful plot of God's good earth, their physical bodies rest from their labors. Their names are now called among the heroes of faith, witnesses whose lives still touch us in our own journey of faith. As we gather in chapel today, we're surrounded then by a cloud of witnesses that is created by the devotion of our own colleagues and also by many fathers in their history of faith. And we rejoice in that truth, that our souls may be renewed at the beginning of a new school year. In our text today, the author introduces us to a grand therefore. That's his way of saying, look back in order to look ahead. There is a profound sense in which the Bible is a book that looks back. Back to the Exodus, back to Calvary. The Bible spends a lot of time looking back. But there is something about its looking back that some folk never quite understand. It looks back in order to go forward. There are some Christian folk who look back in order to go back, in order to stay back. And when that can be done in the name of orthodoxy, it gives an especially unctuous and holy contentment. But the author of Hebrews invites us to look back at the 11th chapter of his letter to remind us of the great fathers of faith and to go forward because we have looked backward. In that great chapter, we read of those whose names are inscribed in the Hall of Fame of Faith. We learn what it means to see with the eye of faith, to trust in God, by which invisible realities become real for men, who do not confuse the city of man with the city of God, who never set their tent pegs in concrete, but keep on track, who see beyond the horizon scanned by man's eye to the rim of the city of God visible only to faith. There's a big difference between looking back and finding inspiration for the future and looking back and finding inspiration for the past. We need to remember this term. What it means to take the therefore in Hebrews 12:1 seriously. We look back in order to look ahead. Looking back with the Bible always leads to looking around. There's a host of witnesses encircling us. Abraham, Moses, the prophets, those who labored in our own community, they all gather with us today doing what good witnesses do. They say, it's so. It's worth it. Go on. They do not gather on the sidelines because they have fallen out or because they refuse to fall in, but because they have finished the race. They are the victors who have trusted the great victor, and they would make us victors too. A number of years ago, I ran across the title of a sermon by Ralph Sockman with the title, Our Contemporary Ancestors. I have no idea what Dr. Sockman said in the sermon, but I won't forget the title, because men of faith still have, I think, at least two kinds of contemporary ancestors. One type always wants to go back to Egypt, where life is simple and orderly and peaceful and controlled. They want to take us back to yesterday and leave us there. The other kind wants us to look for a city whose builder and maker is God. They bring yesterday to us today to point us to tomorrow. May the good Lord deliver us from all the contemporary ancestors who long for the flesh pots of Egypt. But let them gather around Abraham, Moses, the prophets, Peter, James, and John, all those who bear witness that they have crossed the finish line of faith. Summoned to adventure and conflict, they have won the victory of faith. Victors, they inspire us to victory. Gathering around us, the witnesses of faith and true faith tell us to put aside everything that would deflect us, to get a mindset that offers no clinging place for sin, to run the race and hold out. I can think of no quality more surely necessary in a budding theologian, or in a fading one for that matter, than the determination to hold on. Recounting the heroic devotion of men of faith in the 11th chapter, the author of Hebrews says, they all won their record for faith. The witnesses who surround us today remind us that life is a hard race to run. And if the heart of genuine faith is the heart to see it through. Discipline in the life of the Spirit is inevitable in the life of any person who takes seriously the call of Christ. I've often wondered how much God would have been able to reveal to Abraham if Abraham had never left Ur. Suppose Abraham had said, Lord, I don't like to travel. And we don't have a jet camel yet. What could God have done for the world through Abraham if he had stayed at home and drunk Chaldean tea at 3 and taken leisurely camel rides around the neighborhood at dusk? Abraham had to exchange his security for God's security. He had to trust God's promise more than his own possession. He had to make a journey, a long, hard pilgrimage. Every one of us has to leave his Ur and make the long, exacting, rewarding pilgrimage with God. We learn in our text today that we not only look back and look around, we also look forward. We are admonished to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfection of faith. Races are not won by men looking at their feet. They are won by men who know what their goal is and keep their eye on it. Jesus, he is the example of faith. He is the embodiment of faith. He is the inaugurator, the inspirer, the goal of faith. He is faith lived out in a human life. He is the supreme vindication of faith. Races in the Christian life are lost when eyes are taken off Jesus. When we really see him, we know what it means for him to have carried the cross and for us to be carried by it. We learn what it meant for him to die on it and for us to live it. Looking ahead, we see him who steadily endured the cross, and we stay in the race. I can't explain it, but I can testify that when faith keeps its eyes fixed on Jesus, it never stops running. Suddenly we are aware that witnesses to faith are cheering on witnesses to faith, and we know in our hearts the joy that possessed the Lord. Why have we come here, all of us, to find strength in the company of faithful men who have preceded us and who accompany us, to run the race of life more surely to God's glory, to keep our focus upon Jesus, who draws us into the future and welcomes every soul who finishes the race?